For tonight's meditation, I'll be reading from Micah 7, verses 18 through 20. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that for the next few minutes we can look into these three verses, and we ask you, Father, we beg of you that your Spirit would open our hearts so that we might see truth, truth that perhaps we've never seen before. We need you. We need your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great question, isn't it? Who is a God like you? And of course, the answer to that question is that there's no one. There's no one like God. There's no one or no thing that compares to the God of the Bible. But the question is why? What makes God so totally, totally unique? Now, there's a number of ways that Micah could have addressed the incomparability of God. Several different directions he could have gone. He could have easily pointed to the omnipotence or the power of God and how he just spoke the world into existence. How he just spoke the universe into existence and all of creation. Or he could have listed the omniscience of God, or how God knows everything, everything. Every detail of the universe and of life, God knows. He knows the number of stars, while at the same time knows the number of hairs on our head. Or in making the case for the uniqueness of God, Micah could have mentioned that God is omnipresent, that he's everywhere. That you can't escape God. You can go to the highest peak, or you can go to the lowest levels of the ocean, and God's Spirit will still be there. And all these attributes of God, along with countless others, would be true, and they would be an appropriate way to answer the question, who is a God like you? But that's not where Micah goes, is it? Where does he go when he addresses that question? For Micah, when it came to addressing the question, who is a God like you, he starts with God's heart to forgive sinners. That's where he starts. Sinners. Sinners. Sinners like you and sinners like me. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression? Now, what makes God's heart to forgive sinners so impressive is where Micah starts in chapter 1 of these 7 chapters. Do you remember? Do you remember the language that he uses in describing the judgment that was going to come upon God's people because of their sin? Let me just remind you from Micah chapter 1. Hear, you peoples, all of you, pay attention, O earth, and all that is in it. And let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split open. like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? All that to say, God's judgment was coming upon Israel. And what were the transgressions that God's people committed? What did they do that deserved this judgment? Spiritual adultery. God pursued them and he chose them and he said, you're going to be mine and I'm going to love you and I'm going to protect you and I'm going to provide for you. And he entered into a special covenantal relationship with them. A relationship in which God would provide for them and care for them. And what did he want in return? What did he want in return? Devotion and love and humility. For them to walk with their God. Yet his people squandered it all because they thought that the grass was greener on the other side. Oh, how it's easy to think that the grass is greener on the other side. They began to intermingle neighboring idols into their worship of the one true God. They became greedy. And they started to exploit the poor. And instead of preaching truth and calling people to repentance and to change their ways, the religious leaders were being paid off and telling the people what they wanted to hear instead of what they needed to hear. Yet in spite of all the disobedience, God was willing to forgive his people. Our God is a forgiving God. A forgiving God. He loves to forgive. He loved to forgive then. He still loves to forgive now. Who is a God like you pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression? And why? Why was God willing to forgive his people? Why is God still willing to forgive his people? Why is he willing to forgive you tonight and to forgive me? One word. Love. Love. That's what motivates him to forgive. Because he's a loving God. God delights. He delights in steadfast love. He doesn't do it for obligatory reasons. He delights in it. Which means that God is kind, and he's loyal, and he's dependable, and he's completely devoted to his own. The kind of God that all of us want, the kind of God that all of us desire. In spite of all their sin, Micah was convinced, he was so convinced of God's love towards his people. So much so that he could confidently predict three future promises. What does he say in those verses? Three future promises that he says will happen. He will, meaning God. God will again have compassion on us. In spite of all our rebellion, he will have compassion on us. Secondly, he, God, will tread our iniquities underfoot. He's going to do it. He knew it. He was confident in his God, a God of love, a God that forgives. And lastly, Micah says, you will, God, you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And what was the basis for Micah believing that God would fulfill these promises? It was God's faithfulness. God is a faithful and covenant-keeping and covenant establishing and a covenant fulfilling God. God made promises to his people that could not be broken. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Promises that he had made prior to the years of Micah and promises that he's made prior to us tonight. But he's a faithful God. Who is a God like you? Who is a God like this? A God who forgives, a God who loves, and a God who remains faithful. And tonight, as we remember the coming of Jesus into the world, we see those three attributes of forgiveness, of love, and of faithfulness converge so beautifully at the incarnation. They all come together. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. The what? The forgiveness of our trespasses. In Jesus, we see what? We see God's love. His love for the world that he gave his only son. And in Jesus, we see God's faithfulness in bringing the one who will be their peace. Micah 7:18 begins with a question. Who is a God like you? And the obvious answer is, there is no other God like you. But the follow-up question is not so obvious. The follow-up question is, do you know this God? You. Do you know this God? Not do you know about him. Not do you know interesting facts about him. Do you know him? Do you know him personally? Do you know him intimately? When I was a kid, I used to love to collect baseball cards. And on the front of a baseball card is the picture of the player. And on the back, there's all these statistics from all their years of playing. And you can see all these things that they've accomplished. And when I was a kid, I used to memorize all these stats, the batting averages and stolen bases or whatever. And that card gave me access to knowing about these players. But if I ever saw them on the street, do you think that they would say, hey, it's Jim? They wouldn't know me from Adam. I knew about them, but I didn't know them. Tonight, the question is, do you know God? Do you know him personally? Not do you know about him? Is he your God? And if he's not, I'd urge you to make this Christmas Eve one in which you call out to God for his mercy and accept his free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. So that when the question is raised in your mind, who is a God like you? You, along with Micah and the entirety of God's people, might answer, no one. No one.